You're now listening to The Brian Callen Show, rated the number one podcast of all time.
Of all time. Make sure you're ready, because this is the podcast where you are guaranteed to learn virtually everything. That's great. Thank you, Rena. You're wonderful.
Listen to this.
There it is.
Can you hear it sizzle?
Yeah. You're drinking an Arizona Grape Aid, anti-tox, it says, a vitamin C fortified Grape Aid.
How many ounces?
The 7-Eleven. That's a huge can.
Yeah, that's like if this was a beer, it would be a tall boy.
That's right, it'd be a tall boy, and that's what you're drinking. And you have Do you mind?
I'm drinking.
Well, I know, but we usually interview academics on this podcast.
And yeah. I went to Harvard, right?
I did not know that.
You didn't do any research. I'm an academic, dude.
What did you study at Harvard?
Garlic bread. Why do you think I own an Olive Garden?
I forgot about that. Okay, this is Harlan Williams, ladies and gentlemen. And you have SARS, I think, or are you over that?
Yeah, double. It's double.
You have double SARS, which is actually...
I got it 10 years ago, and the strain kind of grows.
Oh.
So I got double SARS.
Oh, my God. Is that safe to be around, or probably...
Not really, but we're friends, so who cares?
Who gives a shit? Plus, you have a spit guard. You're using a spit guard.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, that's like a round filter that sits in front of the microphone to... It's actually to prevent peas from popping.
Is that what it is?
Like if I say Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, that probably sounded incredible to you. But now I'm going to do it without the spit guard. I'm taking it away.
That's amazing. What did we do without those spit guards? I couldn't even understand you. And there's spit everywhere, by the way.
Well, then let me do it again now that this is about Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Amazing.
That's with the pea popper filter on.
Well, and I have to say that you've always been considered a verbal acrobat, if you will, an oral acrobat.
You're like an oral Cirque du Soleil.
Well, the way your tongue moves, it's incredible. Yeah. I mean, I've never heard you speak with such picture-perfect diction.
Well, you know how some people can take a cherry and put it in their mouth and tie the stem?
Yes.
I can take, like, a puma.
A puma?
Yeah, with the long tail.
Oh, yeah, the puma.
I can twirl its tail around and spit it out.
You can?
Yeah.
It seems like a lot to fit in your mouth.
I eat a lot of puma.
So are you a fan of puma? Do you hunt and kill
no.
puma? I thought it was pumas, cougars, mountain lions, but puma. Is that how they say it in Peru?
You mean Mexico?
Yes, in Mexico.
What about Cuba?
Well, Cuba, I don't think in Cuba they have
puma?
Pumas.
Puma.
Puma.
Cuba.
In Cuba? Do you have puma in Cuba?
No, you have to go to Mexico.
For what? For
to get Cuba puma.
For Cuba puma?
Si.
Excellent. They are from indigenous from Cuba, but we make them we take them to Mexico. Then they go down to Peru, and we kill them. Then we cook them in a pot with Arizona grapeade and the Doritos. He's delicious.
They're not Doritos, dude.
Oh, dude, I'm sorry.
They're Twisters.
Oh, they're Fritos and they're flavor Twistos. You know, it's, by the way, everybody, it's 10 o'clock in the morning and you showed up with a tall artificial grape drink and Fritos flavor Twists.
Do the words breakfast ring a bell, even though it's one word?
I know, but Harlan, you should probably start taking your health a little more seriously. Do you train? I mean,
I'm a comedian?
No, I understand that. And in your new movie, you're actually in your underwear, and your body's not bad. You look like...
My body's horrible in the new movie.
That's not... Well...
I actually put on a little weight for that.
Your body... You have an accountant's physique, but an accountant who had the remnants of sports when he was younger. Is that fair?
In that movie, I do.
Yeah.
But now I'm leaner than that movie. I actually put on a little weight for my new movie, which, by the way, is called Back in the Day.
It's called Back in the Day.
Yes.
Who else is in it?
Michael Rosenbaum.
Okay.
Lex Luthor from Smallville.
Yep.
Also my buddy from Sorority Boys.
Lex Luthor's a good-looking kid, right? No, that's a different guy.
From Smallville.
Yeah.
The TV show.
Yeah,
and
the
then,
Superman.
Your buddy Nick Swartzen.
I love Nick.
Fellow comic.
Yeah.
And Morena Baccarin from that show Homeland.
Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Isaiah Mustafa, the old Spice guy.
You dated him for a while, didn't you?
I didn't date him. I don't like guys, but...
Oh, okay, right.
I said to him, no, I sat him down over dinner and some nice wine. I said, look, I don't like guys, dude, but if I did...
Uh-huh.
Give me your hand. If I did... Oh.
Why are you holding my hand? This is a,
no hand. That's what I said to him.
Oh, you're showing me how you held his hand. You don't have to hold my hand. You can let go of that.
Okay.
You have big hands, by the way.
No, actually, I don't. Here, put your
hand
up on mine.
They're very thick. You got some thick hands. What?
Oh, your hands are smaller than mine.
That's not true.
And
don't say that. Don't say that on the air. Don't say that on the air.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Your hands are warm.
I have baby hands. I have baby hands. That's my mother drank when I was in the womb, and so my hands never grew. Yeah.
What'd
she drink? My hands and my feet never grew, so I have trouble balancing. I'm going to ask you to, this is a podcast, and I'm going to ask you not to chew like that.
Sorry.
It's very rude. It's very rude. It's just very rude. Now, you've had obviously some plastic surgery. You've had some work done, or is your skin naturally that taut?
No, I've had a couple of facelifts.
Wow. You look great. How old are you?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Too soon.
It's a little too soon. I apologize. I just meant spiritually. You seem like such an old
soul.
I'm
actually turning 51 this year.
Are you turning 51?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe
I'm 46. I thought you were my age.
No. I just look
51.
Better.
How's that feel? I just look better.
It's weird, man.
It is weird, right?
It's weird because as comedians, I think your mind stays really young.
Yeah.
But you know, your body starts getting older, and it just doesn't make sense.
I know.
Because we get up on stage, and we're, like, being funny and silly, and you feel like a kid.
Yep.
And then your body's not allowed to get older than your mind, is it?
I think it's interesting. I don't know. Like, I was watching Bill Burr, who's now 45. We did a show last night, and everybody's going crazy. I thought that took, you know, Bill's now got a huge following, and it's so well-deserved, obviously. And by the way, I will say, and I'll just give you props right now. You're as good a comedian, I've always said, as it gets. And there's no question about that. There's no doubt about you're as good as anybody, period. And it's very hard to get to that level. Like, there are very few people who can do comedy on your level, right? So, but it's true. But it's a fact. So when you're Harlan Williams and you've done as much as you have just as a comic, you've done a lot of acting, by the way, unlike a lot of other actors, comics. Your acting resume is very, very big, actually. So what at 51, in a sense that a lot of the mystery is gone, right? A lot of the mystery in the sense of, like, how do I make people laugh? Or what's it like to crush a room? Or what's it like to have a following? What's it like to do a big, big movie? Some of that kind of dissipates, right? I mean,
true.
In a way. I mean, you've been there. And now you're just going to continue to do it, of course. And it brings you great pleasure. But do you ever think about... Do you ever get a nagging feeling that you have to kind of reach for something more?
No, because I feel like when you say the mystery's revealed, to me, I look at that as the technical side of things. Mm. Like, when I got into this industry, I didn't know how a movie was shot. I didn't know how all the people involved danced around. I didn't know how the producers and the directors and the editors and everyone was involved. So that's the mystery that was revealed to me. But the mystery of the magic of performing is still not revealed.
Yeah,
to me,
right.
That's something I still chase, because what's great about that mystery is there's no resolution to that mystery. You can't solve it. Creativity has no end. So you can try to get to the end of it, but you never will. And I think as long as you keep pushing yourself, the mystery just deepens. Like, not even the Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew could get in there and solve it.
It's really true. I think that's a great answer. That it never ends, because once you're done with this, like, I'm working on this 1 hour, and by the way, you can keep working on it. I mean, just you're working on all the nuances, and you're listening. You're like, God, I got to change this. And it's almost like writing a song, right? Because the rhythm to it, and there's, you know, everything has its own bit, and then. You know, you're going to have your life is a verb, so you're going to come up with new stuff that hopefully is going to be even better. At least you have to get out of yourself. And I'm noticing you have a Justin Bieber wristband, so that stops everything.
Oh, you're not a believer?
I am now. This is so weird.
Well, I have a Harlan Williams wristband too, though.
No,
what
I'm not.
World
I'm sorry
are
to laugh.
You in?
No,
are
I apologize.
You?
No,
I don't know what planet you come from, but where I come from, we were. Wristbands.
Well, one is Harlan Williams is much smaller and blue, And the very thick plastic wristband on your 51-year-old wrist is Justin Bieber. So
I'm, how old is my wrist?
It's 51 years old. Though you have no hanging skin, your skin once again is very tight.
Not my throat. Look at this.
Well, that there it is.
Underneath
but
my
that's
chin.
Because you're manipulating it.
No, but I have like a saggy. It's like a gullet, like a pelican. Like I got kicked out of SeaWorld. I actually tried to swallow a stingray, and they threw me out.
That'd be an amazing feat. Well, you know what? That's distinguished, isn't it?
Not really. I don't like it. It's like a gullet. What's gullet mean? Does anyone have a
gullet?
Dictionary?
Is a gullet? I think is your throat area.
It's like an airbag. I have an air
gullet,
throat.
Yeah.
What's a gullet? Do you have a dictionary on that?
A
computer?
Gullet, I think, is the area that harnesses the esophagus. I believe. Let's look it up.
Yeah, I think we need to look because that's the word that popped into my mind.
Well, it's
like
a great
word.
It's a
huge
gullet. If you could train yourself to keep water and store food there,
like fish,
you would last longer in the desert.
Yeah.
Right? The passage by which food passes from the mouth to the stomach, the esophagus.
Oh,
you're
so
welcome.
It's the throat.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not.
But I said it was the area that houses the esophagus. It's the actual esophagus.
This thing under my chin is more like a duffel bag or a backpack.
Well, but you know, you can. But do you ever store things in it or no? You haven't learned how to do
that's
that?
That's what I don't know what's in there. It's just like air and
well,
fat.
Well, you'll take my workshop and we'll figure it out.
You have a gullet workshop?
I do.
Oh.
Your arms are not weak. You're not a weak man.
I got some meat pies.
Were you an athlete?
I still play a lot of sports.
You do?
In fact, I challenge you right now to
easy.
Racquetball.
Oh, no, I'll destroy you. Oh, no, I'll destroy you.
Really?
Oh, no. With a racket?
I just challenged you.
Oh, no. Anything with a racket. You don't want a piece of this.
Yes, I do.
No.
Yeah.
I'm a rubber band, dude. I'm a rubber band.
That's all right.
I hit the ball too hard.
That's okay.
What's your answer to that?
I hit it back.
That's the noise I make when I forehand.
That's your weakness.
And then backhand.
See, I know where you are. That's an audio cue for me. I'm silent. I'm stealth. You don't know where I am when I hit. So I just I gave myself the advantage.
Really?
Because you grunt like a female tennis
player.
No,
I don't. No. Listen again.
You just
again.
Did it.
No.
Do it again. It's yeah,
that's forehand.
Monica Salinas.
No. It's Monica. Damn it. You're getting the wrong. The terrible pronunciation, sir.
Who is she?
And then that's backhand.
Yeah, that's girly. That's like when the girls in tennis swing and they do an orgasm all over the court.
No, I didn't do that. I went.
Yeah, but you're like a bull dyke playing tennis,
sir.
You're like,
sir.
You got
sir,
like a rhino. It's like a rhino that just stepped on a thorn in the middle of the Kalahari.
I'm working from my hara.
Yeah.
That's Japanese for my center.
I know what it is.
My root chakra.
I know what that is. But I'm telling you, that's where you lose against me, because your grunting tells me where you are. It's an audio cue.
So you have
so the ball bounces off the wall. I hear you grunt like a bull dyke playing tennis.
Please don't use that word again.
And then I know where you are, and I place myself, whereas I'm silent. You don't know where I am. You hit the ball right to me as I'm behind you.
If you could be a professional,
we didn't even play and you lost.
Well, no, don't say that because
listening know.
Well, I haven't formulated my strategy yet because
there's no strategy when you grunt.
Top spin, it's backspin.
Okay,
you've seen it. You've been there.
I've laid down the challenge. When do we play?
I'm ready. I just got to buy some goggles.
Oh, see, I don't play with goggles.
I need a year of practice.
I don't play underwater.
Okay, well, you're being obnoxious now because
Well, you said you want to bring goggles.
I know, but you're supposed to wear goggles in case your racket hits my face, sir.
Well, I've seen people wear glasses, but goggles?
Okay,
you want some flippers?
I meant glasses then. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not up on the racquetball eyewear terminology.
Okay, well, goggles is when you go underwater and look for pelican fish and sharks.
I don't hunt pelican fish. I don't give a shit about pelican fish. So don't tell me what I look for underwater. Sometimes I meditate underwater. Sometimes I'm not looking for anything. Sometimes I like to go back to the womb.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I do a lot of meditation.
So you crawled back upside
in my mind.
A woman.
In my mind.
Okay. Because I just pictured you like finding a girl and crawling up inside her. And you're like, what, 6 feet?
I'm 6 feet, dude.
And you're like, hey, what do you want to do tonight, baby?
I
want to go back to the womb. And you go crawling up a woman?
Well,
dude?
That's what I, that's how I refer to, that's what I say when I talk about sex. I go, let me crawl down your gullet and up your baby hole. I say that.
Wow.
Let me crawl back up into your baby hole. And they love it. They get so turned on. Hey, you mind if I put this down your gullet? I say that.
Can you not say that? Because I just said I have a gullet.
Ah, sorry.
And now...
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's my lovemaking talk, and I don't want to get into that. That's personal.
Well, it's too late. You already just pretty much told all of it.
I did. Why is your tongue hanging? Your tongue. Put your tongue.
My tongue.
You have a lazy tongue, huh?
No, it's pierced. I got my tongue and my clit pierced last
week. You're 51. What clit? I mean, what do you? You have a?
I have a clit.
Is that skin tag that you call a clit?
I have a clit.
Oh. All right.
You didn't know I had a clit?
I didn't.
Dude, did you not do any research? Could you at least Wikipedia me?
Look, dude, I'm just trying to make this a podcast where people will learn something.
Yeah, but every podcast I've ever done, one of the first questions, Harlan, tell us about your clit.
Okay, but
how
I'm going to ask
you not
that
know to... that?
Like, I don't know, but
how
I don't
many
like...
comics do you know that have a clitoris?
Okay, but you have a lot of air in that word. Please don't...
I just don't... Sometimes I wonder...
Clit. You can say certain things in a really, like... Clit. If you have too much air in a word, it's disgusting. Like dick. See how I pop the... Have you seen my
dick? Let me hear you say air.
Air.
Too much air.
Too much air in the air.
Yeah, yeah. That was way too much. Try it again.
I'm going to try it without air. Air.
Yeah, you got a lot
I'm
of air
I'm a breathy
there.
Person because I'm sensual.
Yeah, it sounds like
and
that
passionate.
When you play racquetball. You grunt and...
Well, I do you play tennis?
Yeah.
Oh, you want no part of me on a tennis court.
See, that I'm going to give to you right away. I've been playing tennis for 20 years, and I'm recreational at best.
Well, you'll take my workshop, and you'll go from recreational to college level in one weekend.
But racquetball or badminton, I will annihilate you.
No, badminton, I laugh at you. I make you look ridiculous with a badminton.
I will put a shuttlecock right between your koala eyes.
I don't... All right, I...
Sorry, I didn't mean to say you had koala
eyes,
dude.
Yeah, what
the
fuck is that?
But
why would
slip.
You say
that?
That
was a slip.
I have dark, mysterious eyes.
You have good
that are...
sensual eyes.
Yeah,
you
but
good,
so, but
like,
why would
cinnamon
you?
Cinnamon brown.
Yeah.
English muffin eyes.
English muffin.
Well,
eyes.
You put the cinnamon on the English muffin, and that's a compliment,
all right,
dude.
Well, but they're not that big and saucery.
No, the koala thing was a slip. Sorry.
Can we get back to talking about things of substance?
Yeah. Go.
Damn it.
Can I just have another sip before?
Go ahead.
My gullet is parched.
Go ahead and I'll think about it. Can you... Harlan, can you...
Oh, you said I... Why? What?
Just a long... That was a draw. That was a long... It was a long, slurpy draw. There's a difference between a long, slurpy draw. And if I had known that, I would have put more of a... A filter, a slurp filter, not just a pee popping filter, but a slurp. Harlan, I'm going to have to ask you to stop eating your Fritos and sipping your fucking grape. This is ruining everything. Damn it, you're drunk, aren't you?
No.
Are you drink in the morning? This is awful.
I drink Grape-Aid.
There's obviously booze in that Grape-Aid. This is not working. Why are you not wearing pants?
I've got pants.
But you're not wearing them. What are you doing?
Them. You're the guy. I meet you outside your studio here on the 9th floor. You show up in Moses sandals, and your toes look like eye-eyes from the Amazon jungle.
Excuse me. Eye-eyes? What the fuck is an eye-eye?
So you don't know I have a clit, and you don't know what an eye-eye is.
I don't... I'll Google eye-eye.
Oh, boy. And by the way, I hope an eye-eye gives you the middle finger.
Well, how do you spell eye-eye?
A-Y-E-A-Y-E.
That's eye-eye. That's
sailor
sounds
talk.
Like something a sailor says. Why are you referring to my... Oh, an eye-eye is the... Eye-eye is a lemur primate native to Madagascar that combines rodent-like teeth and a special thin middle finger... to fill the same ecological niche as a woodpecker.
I told you. I hope it gives you the middle finger. It's the longest middle finger.
I've never been called an eye-eye.
Look at that middle
finger. That's the worst looking thing I've ever seen in my life. That's what you're calling me, sir.
Your feet, guy. Your upper part, your face is koala.
You guys got to go Google I and you'll see what he's calling me.
No, your feet, guy.
I know that.
I clearly said your eyes look like koalas, but I took it back.
My toes are not that long, man.
Well, you know, sometimes you can't see your own stuff. At least I acknowledge to have a giant pelican gullet. Why can't you say, you know what? Hi, I'm Brian Callum. I have eye feet.
I'm not going to say that.
Well, then...
They're not... My toes are not that long. Sure, I can't curl them back to break boards when I demonstrate Taekwondo, but, you know, I'll kick with the top of my foot or my shin.
Oh.
When I'm in the ring. Do you ever get in fights?
I play hockey, so yeah, I've been in
fights.
You
do?
Yeah, I've been playing hockey. I'm Canadian. I have to.
You know, that explains your athletic build.
I've been playing hockey my whole life, guy.
Really? You play in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Where?
I've played all over.
Can you give me an address? Where?
Sure. I played at the Rollerplex out in Malibu. I played up at Sports North down by the airport.
Why are you pointing over?
You're pointing north to the airport.
Yeah, that's not where the airport is. See, I can always tell when people say something's making something up because you start to gesture in a direction.
Yeah, north.
It's like you're pausing for time to figure out where you're...
I could show you my trophies.
No.
I could show you
pictures. I don't think you have trophies.
I do.
You have trophies from playing hockey in Los Angeles?
Three times. 1 year I got top goal scorer in my league.
What's the name of your league?
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
That was grape.
I know, but...
That was grape-tastic. Tastes good. Sorry.
I'm asking...
That was wrong.
It's all right. But can you... What is the name of your league?
It doesn't have a name. It's like hockey.
What, so you're
it's
just
not
part
like
of the
Minute Maid Hockey League or
it's
know,
just
Newman,
hockey?
It's not Newman's own hockey.
Well,
it's just hockey.
Usually a league has a name.
Well, I don't busy myself with those types of things. I go there to play.
Well,
I don't go, hey, you want to go do some
Prometheus
hockey, Ridley Scott? You know, it's like...
I understand, but usually a league, if you're part of an organized thing where you win trophies... It'd be part of something, and I just feel like...
I don't know the name of the
league. Then you're lying to me.
No.
You're lying on this podcast, sir.
I can show you the trophies.
I don't want to see your fucking trophies.
I can show you pictures.
I don't believe... you have them on your phone?
No.
And by the way, we have to talk about your phone, because I find it... It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. It's a penguin.
It's a killer whale, dude.
It's a killer whale with a freaking a flower in its hair. Is that your phone?
No.
That's Rena's phone. Oh, no, that's the fax machine.
Your fax machine has a phone?
They're sending in your tax forms you have to sign.
Who uses a fax anymore?
Well, apparently this office does.
Wow.
We also have a turntable. And we leech you when you're sick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how... a gross story about leeches?
Yes.
I used to bite them in half. That was my thing. Yeah. So I used to grab them and I'd bite them in half.
Wow.
And one time, there's two different kinds of leeches. There's kind of the kind of big fat ones that kind of move through the water, like they swim up in the middle of
and
the water.
And this is in Canada?
Yeah.
Where in Canada?
This was up in...
I mean, you grew up in where in Canada?
I grew up in Toronto.
Okay.
But this happened, I believe this happened up at Cuddle Lake.
Sure, I know it.
Way up like north of Lake Superior.
I have a timeshare in Cuddle Lake. Keep going.
You do?
Yeah, with Kevin Hart.
And there's the big fat kind of leeches that kind of swim around on the surface and maneuver around a lot. And then there's a thing called a gray leech, which is a very flat leech, and it kind of sticks more to the bottom and under rocks and stuff like that.
Eats mud.
Yeah. So I used to grab the big fat ones and I'd bite them in half because they're hard to kill. You can pound a leech with a rock and it just like...
Flattens.
It just puts holes in it, but they still keep going because they're like very rubbery.
It's like my soul.
Yeah, like your soul, yes. But the gray leech, one time I grabbed one and I picked it up and I bit it in half. And what I didn't know is gray leeches keep their babies on their belly, on their underbelly.
Oh!
And they're like almost like microscopic.
Oh, my God.
And as I bit into it, I just felt... all these things going up into my gums.
God damn,
and I was like,
really?
What the heck is that? And I realized all these, and they have like 200 babies just swirling on their belly, and they all went like up into my gum line.
Good God.
And have you ever tried to suck like a piece of corn or a popcorn? Well, try sucking out something that has suction cups and won't let go. I had like 40 mini leeches like up in my gum line, and that was the last time I bit a leech.
Eating living off your gums.
Yeah, it
that
was
explains,
crazy.
That explains your teeth.
Yeah, my teeth.
Your
wait.
Teeth have no blood in them at all. They're so white.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, that could be a new dental product.
It
gray
should be.
Leech instead of teeth whitening.
You have a little goatee. Looks good on
you. Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
But isn't that gross?
That's incredible. That's an incredible story.
Have you ever had a gross animal story? I bet you have.
I used to, I lived in Saudi Arabia.
Whoa.
I had a pet scorpion that when we would have we had the sandstorms.
Yeah.
And you'd have to go inside because the sandstorms were crazy. And for whatever reason, they would always blow snakes and scorpions into the compound that you lived in or whatever near your house. And one day there was this massive scorpion. I think they were related to the emperor scorpion on a screen door and my neighbor. And I got a jar and caught it and kept it for over a year. Nice. And I would feed it cockroaches.
Wow, cool.
And you throw a cockroach in there and the scorpion stings the shit out of it, eats it, and spits the wings out. Crazy.
Wow.
So we would open the...
Doesn't like wings, huh?
Doesn't like wings.
Should have like rolled
unlike
it in
you.
Buffalo sauce or...
Nope. It's different. Cockroach wings don't taste the same as chicken wings. They taste a little too much like chicken.
Oh.
So we'd open this manhole. My buddy would hold me by the waist and I would just reach in and grab with it'd be crawling with cockroaches. I'd grab a whole handful of cockroaches. These huge...
With your
Asian
hands?
Cockroaches with my hands.
Did you have a glove or anything?
Nope. I sure didn't.
Wow, you just went up a few notches in my book. Okay.
Yeah. I used to do all that stuff. I'd swallow goldfish, anything to get attention. Well, what do you think makes you a comic?
I got to hear the rest of this story.
So I'd have the cockroaches. I'd throw them in this huge water jug that I kept, a big glass water jug.
Yeah.
That I would keep my scorpion in.
So you kept it underwater?
Nope. I kept it. It was like a big aquarium. I had sand on the bottom.
A
terrarium. It was a terrarium.
Yeah.
And ter meaning tear, terra for the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing well so far.
But you said water tank.
Well, the kind of jug that you use for water that you know, like a sparklets or something where you get water in your kitchen.
Sure.
We had a glass one, and I used that glass one. I took the water out, Harlan. I put, so it became, instead of an aquarium, aquarium,
Aquia.
It became a terra for the earth, terrarium.
And then what's the end story with the scorpion? What happened to it?
The scorpion ended up being released by me into the desert.
Okay.
I lived in, again, this was in Saudi Arabia. Arabia.
Where in the desert? Like, did you put it by a bush or just out on the sand?
Very specific question. Don't remember. I was 13 years old. So you'll forgive me if I forgot the details of what was surrounding the release of the scorpion.
Well, I figure you probably had one scorpion in your whole life. You'd think you could remember.
I had two scorpions, and I also had snakes.
What was this? Did you name the scorpion?
No.
That's a weird name.
I know, but that's what was different about it.
No.
I said, here, no, want some cock? And I didn't say roaches. I would just say cock. I would abbreviate it. Here, no, want some cock?
No.
Yeah.
And that's why. Okay.
No, and that was where the joke was, and that was the first joke I ever wrote.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
stuff.
And now I'm an international, I'm literally an international celebrity, which I never thought would happen.
I thought you were going to say House of Pancakes.
Nope, I don't eat carbs.
But you said you were international, and I thought I just filled in the blank.
Right? I know. I appreciate it if you would let me finish my sentence.
Yeah. Okay.
Because when you finish, I'm unpredictable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to go. You're not going to be able to finish my sentences.
But you left it hanging. Like, if some guy goes, I'm an international, I'm just immediately going to go House of Pancakes. And you left it hanging.
Well, but you
should have shut the door quicker.
I won't shut. Don't tell me when to shut the door. That bothers me. I know.
But
I have my own rhythm. I have my own rhythm.
I know,
speaking
but
rhythm.
Sometimes things go wrong if you don't shut the door when you're supposed to.
I understand, but
Let's get that knocking at the door.
You have a
good
voice.
Who's that ringing my bell? Paul McCartney.
You have a really good voice.
Thanks.
I mean, are you in a band? Harlan. I'm good.
When I sing, I get parched.
Okay, can you not pull a Slurpee draw like that? If you're going to pull a Slurpee draw, can you just turn away from the mic? Because otherwise, we have to edit that kind of shit.
Okay, sorry.
You know what I mean? My podcast has a lot of followers.
I know. Thank you. And thanks for having me on, by the way. This is
it's
not dairy
a
dairy treat.
It's not a problem. I sent your agent an invoice, and I haven't received payment yet. So
for
I don't
what?
Know.
For my services?
Well, just being on.
Oh, you charge to be on.
Well, here. I mean, this is going to blow you up. You know that.
What was it? What was the fee?
For the hour?
Yeah.
$2,600. I mean, but that's my friends and family. It's a friends and family.
Oh,
rate.
The friends
yeah.
and family.
When I don't know you, it's going to cost $26,000.
Aye, sir.
Yeah. So I took $26,000 off. Well, actually, yeah, something like
is
that.
Is it a true hour though? Because sometimes if you go in for like a therapy session, it's like they stop like 6 minutes.
No,
short.
We can go.
So it's a full 60
America
minutes.
Wants you. America wants to hear you, and so does Canada. By the way, I should just mention I'm going to be down in San Diego this weekend at the American Comedy Club.
Oh, great club.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you had any decency at all, you'd come down Sunday and feature for me.
This Sunday?
Yeah. You'd come down. You'd drive down 2 hours, feature for free, and then leave.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I would let you do that for me. Do you know who's going to be featuring for me? I'm not featuring, but kind of co-headlining because he's such a good guy.
Who?
Steve-O. Have you seen Steve-O do stand-up?
No.
He's hilarious.
He's
the guy's been doing. Guy. Yeah, he's been doing stand-up for maybe 3 years, and he just worked so hard at it, and he's actually telling these incredible stories, and he's hilarious. I love that guy.
Yeah. I don't think I've met him. All I remember is in one of the Jackasses, he put a giant fish hook
he's
through
a
his
badass.
Cheek
he's
and
a
pretended
nut.
He was shark bait.
I know. He's incredible. I don't know how he does that stuff. And that Mako shark almost bit his foot off.
Did it?
It went for his foot, and he had to kick it away. He's a nut.
That was scary.
He's a nut.
Yeah.
But he's amazing.
Good. Well, good luck. Yeah, go to that show.
I got crazy. Literally, the guys opening for me are Sam Tripoli, who's a monster headliner. And then I got Steve-O, who's a headliner. I'd rather just bring guys who are great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if they're down there, come do stand up with me. They're
you don't
featuring.
Care. You're good enough that you could follow anybody, so it doesn't matter.
That's what the kid says.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think there was a seminal moment in your life or the way you grew up that made you become a comic versus something else?
I don't know. Gosh. I knew I liked to make people laugh, but...
What do you think? Because in a way, like I always say, I think I became a comic because I had to be moved around all the time.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I'd be thrown into a whole new set of circumstances. And the only way to get guys to like you is by being a jackass, right? I mean, I found intimacy in humor. Like when I could find somebody I could riff with and laugh with, that was intimate to me. That was actually more intimate and more. I somehow felt like I knew the person much in a deeper way than anybody else. You know what I mean? It's a language you speak.
Yeah, yeah.
I had that with Kevin Hart and certain people where you automatically, you know, you just hit it off because you're just making each other laugh.
Yeah.
And there's a frequency that you're on that most people can't get on. And maybe it's like musicians when they're playing instruments and they're listening to each other and kind of riffing off each other.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good, wow. Yeah, I've never heard it put like that before, but that's good, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're one of those guys who loves, you know, some comics are very serious.
Yeah.
But you're a silly goose like I am, and there's nothing more fun than just being, I tweeted the that riff we did on TV in Canada, which a lot of people loved, but it was just, you know, it was what we do anyway. We've been doing that forever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe it's just the love of being silly. I've just never been able to take things too seriously. It's just
Well, that's what's good. We get to be silly, and that's what we do for a living.
Yeah. Well, how did you grow up? Big family or small family?
I grew up with a big family. Four sisters, buddy.
Really?
Four sisters.
Wow.
And I had a dad and a mom.
And Do they, are any of them in the arts?
Nope.
None of them. Do they come and see you do stand-up?
Sometimes, but I don't like it.
You don't?
I don't like it when family and people I know come because it freaks me out.
Why?
Because on stage, I'm in like an altered reality sort of.
Right.
And I feel like your family like kind of knows. They're like, well, what's he doing? That's not him.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying it's not them because I'm not as close to my family as I am to, like, my friends. Like, I don't goof around with my family as much as I do in real life.
Huh.
So I always think
Is that because they... That's a really interesting point, though. But is that because they just... You don't think they'd necessarily get it?
No, we just don't click on that level. You know, my parents are a little very religious and kind of stoic. And, you know, you can't say shut up in my house and you can't. So it's hard to just be totally natural in front of your family when you live under those kind of rules.
So you grew up that way. It's very interesting.
I grew up that way. So when I was at home, I never really felt I could be really myself. Whereas when I'm out with my friends and just kicking around with people, I can just be me.
What about your sisters?
I think they suffered the same thing a little bit, you know, just because the family was
What do you think made your parents that way?
That's just, I think it came from, you know,
culture,
the era that they grew up in and their families and the religion and, you know, stuff like that.
Are you
that.
Religious?
Not in the organized religious sense.
Yeah, me neither.
But I do believe in spirituality and higher powers and things like that.
Sure, that which you can't measure or something that, you know.
Yeah, I believe there's greater forces than you know, just us being here. I
agree. I've always looked at religion as something that, you know, nothing I have to explain, but the idea that somehow I feel as though I look at religion as a source of inspiration. Like, in other words, I've been given this opportunity, whatever this is, and I got to do something with it. It kind of what drives me.
Yeah.
If I was a total atheist and thought this was just all math and that I was going to be extinct and there was no reason for anything, I'd have a really hard time getting out of bed.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the only thing that would drive me, I suppose, is my appetites, which I don't want to live that way. I've seen the result of that. Like, I want to bang hot chicks and eat good food and live and have a nice view. That's fine. The problem is it helps to have something that you're striving for that's kind of outside yourself, which is what you sort of talked about being on stage.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
notion of an altered reality, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And I believe in, you know, a lot of people go, well, if there's a God, why do people get cancer? And why are there wars? And why is there 9/11 and all that? So I kind of like, when I've decided not to subscribe to the God that mankind has told us to subscribe to. And I just, whenever I pray, I address God like I go, say I'm praying, I go, dear God of all that's good, I would like to dot, 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 dot. So I always address them. If there's a God out there, I figure there's a God that's good and, you know, the devil's bad.
Do you ever say at the end of every prayer, do you ever say, and bless Brian Callen? You don't have to.
Can I implement that?
You don't have to
write that down.
No, I have a feeling that might be to your benefit because I hear him whisper, say, you know, he's like, you're the best, you know, you're my real son. You know, I hear that a lot. And I don't know.
Well, you do have the sandals on.
I do. Yeah. I walk the earth, brother. I walk the earth.
Have you ever walked across bottled water? I'm just asking.
No,
it's hard to stand up. I don't know if even Jesus could do it, but could you?
I'd
love to see you on like a six-pack of Perrier.
Well,
just rolling down the street like.
Yeah, no, I walked on coals, never on bottled water. Yeah.
Oh.
In my affirmation workshop that I teach.
You have a lot of workshops.
Yeah, it's a lot of hands-on.
You're like an elf. You're like
work.
One of Santa's elves.
Yeah, I work mostly just with women in their 20s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I find I do best with them.
I heard you're into girls with ginger root fingers.
I think that's a rumor. I went through a phase.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now I'm an equal opportunity employer. I as long as you're in your 20s and...
Wow.
And you're sufficiently... We have a proportion metric that we use... And you would send me pictures of different angles. And
you like the breasts.
Well, I mean, I just like everything to be working in harmony in all the moving parts.
You know what's great about breasts, and I don't think people know this, even women, but the mostly women, but men too. The areoli make great repair patch kits. If you have an air mattress or
okay, now I'm
going
to have to stop you. You sound like a serial killer.
Or a tire.
No.
You just kind of shave them
off and slap them. No, that sounds like a serial killer.
No,
now,
I'm
are
saying.
You, are you a serial killer?
No. But, well, no.
Oh, what do you mean, well?
No, I mean.
You can't answer that question with
no,
well.
I flinched.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what define serial killer?
Well, someone who kills people a lot for the pleasure of it.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't get pleasure from it? I mean.
Harlan.
Wait.
Harlan.
How?
This is.
What?
I.
Can I have a drink?
Well, yeah, but make sure you don't. Harlan, I'm going to have to. You spit. That's a leech. Is that
I
a leech?
Too hard.
You just spit.
I got air in my gullet.
Oh, God. Learn how to harness that air. Learn how to harness that air. You could swim underwater for a long time.
I can.
And float if you filled it with air. If you had one superpower, what would it be?
Oh, boy. Probably Brian Callum?
It's actually Callen. So if you're going to do my podcast...
No, I said Brian Callum. I wasn't talking about you. I have a friend named Brian Callum. He can walk on bottled water. What do you think? Everything's you?
Well, you said...
Okay. I'll change it.
Yeah, Callen.
Callen.
E-N.
You're not related to Marie Callender, are you? The girl that makes the pies?
I am. It's why I have I come from family money.
That's short. Like a lot of people shorten their name when they come from Saudi Arabia.
My real name
Arabia.
Is Brian Callender, but I didn't want people
right,
to.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Boy, I love your meat pies.
Thank you very much. I don't take credit for that, but I do have money from the Callender.
Where is Marie fortune. These days?
She passed away about 4 minutes ago. I just got a text.
Wow.
I know.
How'd she die? Scorpion bite?
Yellow Japanese wasps.
Oh.
I know. She was trying to harvest their nectar. And
have you ever kicked anyone in the throat with your eye feet? Would that be a lethal blow?
Harlan,
what?
Don't call them eye feet. I don't appreciate that. I have kicked people because I'm a black belt in Taekwondo.
Are you really?
Yes.
No, you're not.
I am, in fact.
And when do you
I
do this?
I fought all over the country for many years, so I have kicked many people in their face and their neck.
When
yes.
do you do this?
I used to do it all the time. It was my life for a long time.
Like UFC stuff?
Well, no. I fought full contact Taekwondo all over the country. And in fact, I even won the American Taekwondo Championships in Iowa, and I believe 1988. That's how old I am. But
whoa.
But the reason I never say I'm a fighter, and I was a wrestler. The reason I say I'm never a fighter is because I never fought in a ring or on a mat where I was trying to punch somebody in the face. I was trying to kick them in the head.
Yeah.
But there's a big difference.
That's nice.
Taekwondo, if you can call it full contact Taekwondo, there's a big difference, though, between that and actually getting in the ring and having somebody try to punch you in the face. You weren't allowed to punch the face. You punch the body and kick to the head. Kick to the face. But if you bring punching into the face, now you got to start working boxing, and I never did that. So I never, ever talk about fighting because I got too many friends who fight in the UFC and I see what they go through and it's a whole different game. So you're not allowed to say you're a fighter if you're me when you're an actor who did some Taekwondo through college and you wrestled in high school.
Oh.
That's like I hate when people like take credit for being able to fight until you've gotten in there and you know.
In the pros.
Yeah. Or even Muay Thai or anything where you're actually getting hit in the face. You don't want any part of those guys.
Did you have to wear that little helmet, the special helmet?
I did not.
Padding?
I didn't because I wasn't punching to the face, but when you and back then we didn't even wear helmets when we were kicking to the head. That's why I got knocked out or, you know, I got broke my nose 5 times, but you know, it was always scary. When you fight guys who can really kick, you get really good at avoiding that because you start learning patterns and stuff. But
did you ever wear that little eye pillow mask when
only when making love?
Oh.
Do you make any noise when you have sex? Is there anything?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anything weird in bed from a girl?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. I dated a girl who was in the insurance business, and just when she was orgasming, she went, Aflac!
Well.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was weird.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure not. Yes, yes.
What was that quote unquote girl's name? Gilbert Godfrey. It's okay. It's okay. Shh. It's okay.
No.
It's all right.
No.
It's all right.
It was Flo from Progressive.
Okay, because Aflac, that's...
Right.
Gilbert Gottfried's bit.
I know, but Flo... Gilbert's a boy.
I know.
I don't groove.
Flo,
the
is
groove
Flo
machine
a nickname
doesn't...
for Gilbert?
Flo's Godfrey. The girl from the Progressive commercials.
Right.
You know, the one that looks like a 50s waitress?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, man, it was...
Do you have a type?
Well, I like 50s waitresses.
Okay. With the beehive?
Yeah.
Chewing gum?
But,
dude,
I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
We were doing it in a phone booth.
Really?
Down on Wilshire.
Oh.
And just
this
was like,
in the 80s, obviously.
Like,
Aflac! Oh.
Unbelievable.
What do you say when you have an orgasm?
Oh, do I really have to say?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
It's the Brian Callen Show.
Can I do it?
Sure.
All right, this is fake.
No problem.
But I'm going to do it. Okay,
no,
so she does Aflac, and then I'm like, Brian Callum.
Oh, okay.
With
it's
an M.
Callen.
I know, but when you're orgasming, you lose your motor faculties.
Oh, fuck, man. Dude, just say it with an N. Brian Callen.
I can say it when I'm not orgasming.
Let me hear you.
Brian Callen. But when I'm in the throes of passion, when I'm climaxing, the M comes in.
Why?
I don't know.
It's so
disappointing. What do you say when you had your orgasm that one time?
I just go, this is for you. Or I go, you're welcome. Because I know she's going to say thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Or sometimes I go, oh, white wet Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like the you're welcome thing.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Wow.
Huh?
Did you put a hat out on the pillow so she can throw some money in when you're done? Or
that's a condescending thing. First of all, hats on beds are bad luck.
Well, I'm just saying it might be nice if she... You're like a busker.
Sir.
You're like a bed busker.
Sir, please don't call me a bed busker. It's just where I have to draw the line. I have to draw the line there. And please tell me where I can find that Justin Bieber...
Why are you fixated on my Bieber bracelet?
Well, I'm
going to
take a picture of it and tweet it. And I'm going to tweet that ridiculous phone casing.
Dude,
which
this is a killer
orca.
Whale.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
This is the type of thing that says I don't have to do drive-bys anymore because I can just show this on the street and people move on.
Well, you have a big black truck. You have a man truck.
Yeah, and I got a killer whale phone case. You're not going to mess with this.
No. Do you get recognized on the street a lot?
Of course.
In Canada, you're a straight-up celebrity.
I get recognized everywhere in the world.
All right,
I go.
Calm down.
All right. I know, it's weird.
Do you travel a lot? Do you get recognized?
Yeah, all over the world.
England?
Yep.
Favorite place? Australia?
Australia.
You get recognized in Australia?
Yep.
They like you in Australia, huh?
I've been everywhere in the world. I've been nailed. And that's when I realized I thought I was just a guy that might be known in North America.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, I've done a few movies, but then I've been all over the world. I went to Easter Island, second most remote place on the planet, and the villagers brought their kids to see me. And I'm not kidding, and they asked me to kiss their kids on the forehead because I was Rocket Man, which
was
a movie
God.
I did. And it blew me away. I was like, what is happening
here? That's so crazy, man.
But you know, I've been to Africa, India, Nepal. I mean,
what were you doing over there? I mean, was that just, you just decided to go take a look at what, where in Africa?
I went to over by Victoria Falls, and then I went to the Ngorongoro Crater, and I've been to Africa a number of times. I've been to Cambodia, but that's not in Africa. I went to Africa what was that movie? Hotel Rwanda.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Rwanda.
Did you really?
I went hiking through the jungle to look for mountain gorillas
on
one of the volcanoes.
Wow.
I got charged by almost a 500-pound silverback in
the
jungle.
Good God.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
Did you stand and look it in the eye? You're supposed to stand your ground, right?
Yeah, I stood my ground. And
do you look down or you look at the gorilla?
I just turned. I kind of turned my head, and it came probably about as close as we are right
That's
now.
That's very scary.
About 4 feet, 3 feet. And then it turned at the I think I felt my heart skip a beat.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was.
What's that jungle like, by the way?
It's amazing. It's amazing. You're like kind of cutting your way through it, and
you had to worry about Hutu militias and things like that.
We had like four guards with machine guns walking through the jungle with us.
Not for animals, but for
rebels from Congo. Because Congo's very
unsafe. Yeah, the problem is that those rebels have a lot more machine guns.
Yeah, well,
they've had some instances, right? They've had some really bad situations.
Yeah, it's tense. You know, it's never a comfortable feeling. You're on a hike.
Do you camp in the jungle, or do you go
no,
back to
it was
camp?
Just like a day trip. But it's you never want to. You know, it's always weird when you got four guys with machine guns walking with you.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of you were there?
I think there was eight of us.
Is that something you'd recommend to people?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
What else did you see in the forest besides mountain gorillas?
Everything. I saw lions. I saw.
Did you really?
Lions, crocodiles, hippos.
It's not a place you want to be in at night.
No, in fact, they don't let us go out on safari at night. You're not allowed.
Rebels or the animals?
The animals. Yeah. The Africa. Have you been?
I have twice.
So you know it's probably the most electric place I've ever
been really
in my life, and it's the only place on planet Earth. And like I said, I've been to a lot of places where you really feel like when you're out there on safari and you're, you know, not when you're with a whole bunch of people. If you go out alone in a truck with just one guide and you're not around a big convoy, it's the only place in the world where you really truly feel you're part of the food chain.
Yeah,
it's the only place in the world where I've gone, if I step out of this truck, I'm as vulnerable as that gazelle over there.
That's right.
And you don't feel that anywhere else. Even in the forests in North America, even though there's bears and mountain lions.
I've never heard it put that way, but Harlan, as a kid, I always felt that way. I grew up overseas, but especially in Africa. That's a very good point. You feel so weak.
You feel
so vulnerable.
You realize how weak you are as a man without anything in your hand, just one-on-one with any other
You're not
animal.
Hanging out by a riverbank because a crocodile will 100%
explode.
Eat you.
Out of the water. Yeah. And you just feel so vulnerable. And that's what I love about it. It's such an incredible feeling, you know, in this world where I think we've put up a lot of, you know, kind of fake monuments, and we live in this world where we think we're you know, this superior you know, race of creatures, and then you get thrown into Africa.
Africa's the great equalizer.
It is, yeah. It really brings you back to your primal state, and you go, wow, you know, without anything in my hand, I'm less of a creature than that antelope over there.
That's right.
Because
right,
everything in Africa out in nature is alive. Everywhere you look, there's a deadly snake, there's a jaguar, there's a lion, there's a hyena.
Not jaguars, because they're from the Amazon. But
sorry,
I know
leopards,
what you mean.
Leopards.
No, but you're right. You're
jaguars
right.
Jaguars,
I mean,
are South America.
That's so true, man. It's a very humbling experience.
Yeah.
I've always said that, you know, I grew up overseas, but I've always said if Americans, a lot of people just went to another country, you know, and especially Rwanda, which a lot of people, you know, need to know that in the 90s there was a period of 8 months which with the most ferocious concentrated killing in the history
in Rwanda
of the world. I mean, there were 800,000 to a million Hutu and Tutsi and moderate Hutus that were slaughtered mostly by machete.
Yeah.
And mostly men and women and children.
Yeah.
It was beyond what we can imagine. And if you ever see the pictures in the New York Times of the river ways.
Just floating down the rivers.
Just bodies and bodies and bodies. It was the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
And it was all a function of, it was essentially a tribal explosion, and for a lot of reasons, we don't have to go into it, but did you feel the remnants of that there?
Yeah. In fact, it was amazing. In Rwanda now, you're not allowed to even say the names of the two tribes. It was the Tutsis and what was the
Hutu. Wahutu and the Watutsi.
Yeah, you're not even allowed to say those names. You're not allowed to, you have to refer to everyone in Rwanda as Rwandans. And you can go to jail if you mention the tribes because they want to eliminate the tribal identification. And I thought, what an amazing thing to actually force a tribe to not even reference its own history, its own name.
Yeah.
And it sounds weird, but it's like you almost have to because the tribal mentality gives it a sense of primitiveness where people will kill just because it's a tribe.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of trying to neutralize it. So outside of that, though, the people were extremely friendly and nice, but I actually stayed in the Hotel Rwanda where, you know, that whole thing happened.
You did?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
My God.
And it's just
what is the hotel like? What was
Just a real kind of basic hotel, you know?
I didn't see the movie, but was that particular hotel, was there a lot of killing or
it was kind of a refuge. It was kind of like
why were they able to gain refuge in Hotel Rwanda?
Well, according to the movie, the guy who was like kind of the maitre d' of the hotel was kind of doing kind of what you saw with the Nazi in World War II, where this guy was kind of hiding families in the hotel and saying they were diplomats and they're from other countries, and he was kind of created a safety zone for
them. And these groups of men in pickup trucks and in trucks would just come into villages and places and just slaughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things that a guy from one of these non-governmental organizations said, he said, well, what would you do? He said, to be blunt, what I would have done, I would have gotten rapid reaction forces in there, and any group of guys in a truck, you fucking kill them. You shoot them with a RPG or a SAM missile, and very quickly the word would get out, and get helicopter gunships and man those roads. And as soon as you see two truckloads of guys, you fucking kill all of them. You kill them all.
Yeah.
You shoot them all. And in about fucking less than an hour, the word would get out very quickly that guess what? If you're a group of assholes and you get into a truck with your fucking machetes, you're going to die. You're going to die. And that's, in my opinion, you can talk about diplomacy, the UN arguing over armored cars for 6 weeks while 300,000 people were slaughtered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, UN. Go fuck yourself. Get me helicopter gunships. I want special forces crack commandos. And you get in there. I don't care if it's an international effort or whatever. If you know that shit's going on, get in there. Start killing a couple people. And yeah. I mean, to be blunt, if you see a group of guys with machetes in the truck, you're going to die. You're going to die. And it's going to be bad because we're going to shoot you with a Hellfire missile or whatever it is. I don't know the terminology.
Yeah.
And it would stop.
Well, you'd think it would, but unfortunately, stuff like that still goes on today in Dubai and places like that.
Less so, though. The Rwanda was in a little bit of a way stands. It stands. It has a unique place in history in some ways.
It was horrific. But yeah. The problem is, I mean, even if you look at places like Afghanistan, unfortunately, there's a mentality where it's almost like these people aren't afraid to die. They know they're going to die, but there's such deep-rooted cultural and tribal
stuff going on. A little bit of a mistake, though, in that, listen, when you're a villager and you're holding on to your children in a house, you whether you're Rwandan or Afghani, you are as afraid and you bleed and scream exactly the way any of us do, right?
Right.
So that's
but
where
they don't
I say
think the same way.
You can have a culture that breeds a group of men and a culture of war where you know you just have these roving militias, and that's what you want. Whenever the fabric of a society breaks down, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if it all ever happened here.
That's always the question, right? I mean, the idea is always there. There was this, who is the philosopher who said, we are always a generation away from savagery. The boys that we're raising in our schools need to be raised a certain way, because if you raise them the wrong way, it can be a very, very dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And that you see it all the time. This is the problem with Syria. You've got different groups now breaking up, trying to get arms, and it's chaos. Where else have you been? Middle East?
Middle East. I've been to Israel. I've been to
Where's the place you went that kind of where you think you could live?
Oh man.
Is there anywhere?
You know, it's interesting because I just got back from Komodo Island a few months ago. I went to look for Komodo dragons in Indonesia.
Wow.
And you know, I've been all over the place, and you always think, I should just settle here and get a cabin and turn off the world. But I don't know. It seems to me just it doesn't matter where you go because it's the same. You're still with yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, wouldn't you say in a way like your home is the stage in a way, not to be too, you know, cheesy about it. But don't you ever feel that way? Like nothing compares really to getting up on stage or doing what you do.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah, that's an inner calling I think we have.
It and is,
yeah,
man. So if you put me on an island with all the accoutrements, yeah, I'd still be like, dude, I got to get on stage, yeah, man. I got to go do the road because yeah, this is killing me.
There's a real love and a real need to be up there.
Yeah.
It's
because of that mystery you were talking about.
The mystery and the magic and the joy of it, you know? Yeah. You're in a business where you're bringing laughter to people, which yeah, is, you know, we just spent 10 minutes talking about a world full of hatred and killing and people invested in that business. And yeah, we're in the exact opposite business where we try to provide joy. And
have you ever had somebody come up to you after a show and thank you because their lives sucked? And
I've had people do it, you know, all the time. Yeah. I mean, that's you do movies, I do movies. That's probably the best part of being recognized.
That's
is
right.
I'll literally see people walking down the street with a frown on their face, or yeah, I'll walk into a store and they're just kind of bumbling around. They'll look up, see me, and they'll go from frowning to, "Oh my God, yeah, I love you."
Yeah.
And they say stuff like that, and you've just by doing what you did, you've made their day. You've made a difference, and that's a better feeling than for me personally. That's better feeling than anything else that comes from this. It's amazing.
Well, and I think that that's a good place to end, because this podcast is going to change everything for you, and you have brought laughter to the world. You know that over 60 million people download this podcast.
Oh, so this plays at McDonald's?
It does play at McDonald's.
Can we end on something a little more poignant than just what you just said? Do you mind?
Well, sure,
I'm the guest.
We can
I
talk,
make this
yeah,
about how I want to end it?
Yeah, please.
Thanks, buddy.
Sure. I'll be at the American Comedy Club this weekend. Harlan, I'm going to have to ask you.
Hold on, I'm not finished. Can you just... I said I want to end it my way.
Harlan, I'm going to... Ladies and gentlemen, that's Harlan Williams. And I'm Brian Callen. This has been a fucking disaster.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Oh, God damn it!
You've been listening to The Brian Callen Show. Be sure to visit briancallen.com for information about this episode as well as past and future episodes. You can follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Callen and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Brian Callen Comedy. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.